January. We're going to get into all things Christmas period in England with our guest for today on the show. I'm delighted to say that he is our first guest, not only of the week, but of the new year 2014. And so we're starting it with the best and going to maintain the standard for the length of the year. I'm delighted to say joining us now from the Daily Telegraph, he is an expert football writer on all things English football and especially the Premier League. It is, of course, my namesake, Mr. Jeremy Wilson, joining us here on World Football Daily. Jeremy, pleasure to have you on board, mate. I hope the Christmas period was fine and fun for you. How are you doing today, man?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you join us here on the show, mate. We always look forward to getting people like yourself on the show to talk about a very busy Christmas period, and it has been pretty intense for some people. Everybody's talking about United this morning after their loss against Swansea, but I want to kick off at the other end of the table with West Ham and the job that Sam Allardyce has got to do, because it's been going poorly in the Premier League, to put it mildly, for Big Sam. But then this 5-0 loss as well to Nottingham Forest. Is it just pure embarrassing? Are we going to see this change sooner rather than later, do you think?
I don't think we're going to see a change. I think the first point, it is embarrassing. I think 5-0 loss to a team in a lower division than you said it all. I mean, he obviously fielded a very young and weakened team in the FA Cup. And that tells you that he's prioritising. The Premier League is obviously his first priority, but then also West Ham, despite their terrible league form and terrible result in the FA Cup, are still in the Capital One Cup and only few games away from a final. So he's obviously prioritising that fixture against Man City on Wednesday, but by what he did with his team. But I don't think, you know, though it's embarrassing, and although they're very precariously placed in the Premier League, second from bottom, I don't think there'll be a change of manager. The owners have come out today and issued quite a sympathetic statement to Allardyce about injuries and how they're trying to do things in the January window. It's a big topic for debate in England at the moment, whether they should be giving Allardyce this amount of confidence, really, because it was a few years ago that West Ham were in a similar position and they sort of kept sticking by Avram Grant and ended up getting relegated. I actually, more sympathetic this time, I think that Allardyce's track record with Bolton and Blackburn, and he obviously got West Ham into the Premier League and kept them up last year, I think that's a track record that probably merits a bit more leeway and a bit more understanding. And the indication that we have today certainly is that they're going to stick with him, and that the solution to their problems is not going to be a change of manager, but spending in the transfer market.
It will be spending then that they'll have to do, because they're very short on the ground in terms of players, playing four fullbacks against West Bromwich Albion earlier on in the Christmas period, and of course struggling defensively in general. Do you think we are going to see a big spend? We saw them spend a lot of money, obviously, on Andy Carroll, and that's been unfortunate with the injuries. Or are they going to be? Is it going to be more conservative, bringing in maybe a handful of players, around about 3-4 million or so? How do you think they tackle it in the transfer market?
I think it will be a bit more of the latter in terms of what they can do financially. But I think they'll be active. I think they'll be there might be some loan deals. They're looking at Julian Lescott, the Man City defender. He's not playing at the moment. Roger Johnson at Wolves, who also formerly of Birmingham, another centre back. There's a Monaco striker, Traore, who's someone that they're looking at. If Andy Carroll, particularly, that's been their biggest problem, really. They've not really had any strikers while Andy Carroll's been unfit. But they're hoping Carroll will be back soon. So they're already working on a few deals, but I think they're going to be of the loan of a few million pounds variety rather than, you know, suddenly a £20 million player or something like that. They've kind of already spent big previously, particularly on Carroll. So I think they'll be active, but as I say, I think it will be more of trying to sort of work the market as best they can and maybe get in players that they think can improve the squad, but maybe not necessarily even on a permanent basis. You know, as I said, someone like Julian Lescott would be a great signing for them, and he's not really involved at City, but would be an outstanding centre back to get for West Ham at the moment.
Does it help as well for Allardyce's situation, at least, that yes, the board are sympathetic about these injuries that have taken place in the squad, but the fact that there aren't that many managers out there that would stand out as being the ideal candidate to come in. We've still seen plenty of sackings over the Christmas period, and there hasn't been kind of thorough quality coming in to replace them.
I think that's part of the issue, really. I think it's if Sam Allardyce was out of work now and West Ham were going through these problems with another manager, and I think David Sullivan, the co-owner at West Ham, made this point in an interview in the last few days, Allardyce would actually be exactly the sort of manager that you would look for, because he's got so much experience of managing teams who are struggling in the Premier League, and he's very experienced in the transfer market, and he's been through these sort of situations numerous times before, and has got a very good track record in these sort of situations. So I think that's why they're sticking with him. And as you say, if you decide that results have reached a point of no return, who would you then go for? And it's difficult to think of an obvious person that you could say, well, he would be an improvement, or he's got more chance of keeping West Ham up than Sam Allardyce. So I can understand why they're reluctant to change at the moment. But as we said, they followed that philosophy previously with Avram Grant, and it didn't work out for them. But as I said, I think that's quite a different situation. I think that Allardyce is a proven manager in these sort of situations. He clearly needs to turn it around very quickly, but I think it's difficult to see how they would necessarily improve themselves by sacking him.
Jeremy, I want to talk to you about Manchester United, but I don't want to spend too long on them, because we've spoken at great lengths throughout the season about a lot of the problems around Old Trafford already. But people are describing this now, especially after the loss against Swansea, as almost the fall of the Old Trafford empire. Are we right to be going so maybe over the top with these, this damnation of United and suddenly nobody fears them anymore, apparently?
I think they've lost. Yeah, obviously the fall of the empire is clearly over the top, because Man United are still Man United, and they still turn over £300+ million a year. They're still up with Real Madrid and Barcelona in terms of their ability to create resources and their commercial deals and the size of their stadium and all the rest of it. And they've still got some world class players in their squad. So that doesn't change overnight at all. But certainly there's a difference in, I think, in how clubs will be approaching playing Man United at the moment, because once you get beyond sort of the forward line of Rooney and Van Persie, and Van Persie has been injured quite a lot, it does look like quite a mediocre team at the moment. The midfield in particular, and obviously the defence, Vidic and Ferdinand are not playing as much, and quite the men they were, really. So of course there's a clubs feel and other teams feel completely different playing against a team that they must be able to sense and not as good as they once were. They've got results tell you that they're not confident, and that other teams, you know, Swansea have gone to Man United and got a win. Southampton went there and got a draw this year. Lots of teams are going to Old Trafford and getting positive results. So that filters down and definitely has an impact. But the kind of wider point, you know, Man United are always going to be the biggest powerhouse in English football in terms of their resources and what's possible for them, but at least the resources that they sort of generate themselves. So I don't think you're ever going to end that empire, really. But clubs go through different cycles, and they're very much on a downward cycle at the moment.
How do they get out of this downward cycle? Obviously, a number of names being mentioned this January for them. Do they have the pulling power, though, to bring in players from places like Dortmund, the likes of Marco Reus and Gundogan? Do they hold that muster at the moment in the transfer market?
It's difficult. It's certainly, I think they always hold a certain status because they're Man United. They're still in the last 16 of the Champions League. I think players from around the world, you know Manchester United, but football is quite short term in that sense. The club that's flavour of the month does have a certain advantage, and there is that danger of being caught in a sort of vicious cycle where you're not doing so well, and then the sort of whole momentum around the club falls, and that's the big sort of challenge to turn that around. They will turn that around eventually, as I say, because they've just got too many sort of advantages not to, but there's nothing to say that that can't take literally years to change. You know, it could be a difficult period for this season and next season, quite conceivably. But Manchester United will obviously come good again because of who they are and how much money they've got, basically. But it's not an easy, as I say, it's not an easy cycle to reverse. I mean, Arsenal went through a very difficult 3 or 4 years, partly when they moved stadium, and it's probably only now that you've got that sort of momentum come back where they look like a club that top players might want to join, and they look like an upward moving club. But it can last quite a long time, that sort of feeling. Equally, football sort of played on quite a fine, you know, everything's on a little bit of a knife edge, and sometimes things can turn around quite quickly. But I sort of feel like it could be a year or so before Man United. It could be quite a long job for David Moyes if he stays there that long to really turn it around and have them back sort of dominant again in England. Certainly, you know, Manchester City at the moment, you know, look like quite a way ahead of them.
Are they ripe for the picking this Tuesday against Sunderland? Obviously, Sunderland were able to get a win in their FA Cup tie and try and change around some of the negative headlines into positives, as Gus Poyet put it in his post-match interview. Do you think Sunderland will be taking on United after beating Chelsea as well in the last round with real kind of, we can have these, you know, we may be on bottom of the Premier League, but on a night, we can have this. We can go and do this over two legs.
Absolutely, yeah. From their point of view, they proved it against Chelsea. The thing with Sunderland is they've got their own problems in the league, whether they'll be sort of thinking a little bit about the league situation as well, because obviously the danger of falling out of the Premier League is a huge and a massive thing financially. But they'll go there without any real pressure, Sunderland, and all the pressure is on Man United. I've got a sort of feeling that there might be a response from Man United, and that almost with what's happened in the FA Cup, obviously, in the Premier League this season, and just the fact that Man United don't look quite good enough to have a serious chance of winning the Champions League, this could be the sort of big chance for Man United to win something. So I think there'll be a reaction. I mean, I've got a sort of feeling that Man United will get through this tie, but partly because, as I say, it really is their best chance of winning something this year.
And West Ham against that explosive Manchester City attacking lineup with very few fit defenders at the moment. Have they got a snowball's chance in hell against City, especially at the Etihad?
Well, the only sort of thing that you can say in West Ham's favour is that Man City, they've obviously got a cup replay to think about. They've got the Champions League, the Premier League. It's very much number four on their priority list, the Capital One Cup, whereas for West Ham, it's second in their priorities, is a bit more important, and they obviously rested a lot of players on Saturday. But you know, you would think that Man City would just be too good and just have too much there. They've looked like the best team in the Premier League by, although they're not top of the Premier League, they've looked like the best team by quite a distance, really. So yeah, it's difficult to see, even if Man City field a weakened team, it's difficult to see West Ham getting through.
It's been a very long, busy Christmas period for everybody involved, and I'm sure yourself, Jeremy, are looking forward to maybe a little bit of downtime at some point after it. But who do you think's come out as a big winner over the Christmas period? We've seen, as I say, a number of changes in managers. Tottenham have got their form back, and Adebayor's playing well, for instance. Everton are still up and in that top five, and as you say, City have been looking fantastic over the last few games. Who do you think has been the biggest winners of the Premier League Christmas break? Christmas period, sorry, rather than break.
Yeah, I think it's probably been Manchester City, because I think they've really, I think all season they've looked like they're suddenly going to produce and be consistent, and then they've gone and lost a few games away or something like that. But I think over Christmas, even with the demands of all the fixtures, Manchester City have sort of had a consistency as well as the sort of high quality about them that I think is quite ominous for the rest of the season. So although they've not quite got to the top yet, I think the way City have played and the way they seem to be getting results, on a sort of grinding out results as well as sort of sweeping teams away, is sets out a marker, I think, that they're going to be the club to beat. But you have to say, Arsenal and Chelsea have been very resilient over that period. Chelsea especially had some difficult games against Arsenal and against Liverpool, and they basically got through it unscathed, as did Arsenal. I think both of those teams got 10 out of 12 points from the period. Didn't play anything like as well as City, but have kept themselves very much in the race. So I suppose those top three teams have come out in the best shape. But I just sort of think it's been quite ominous in terms of the way City have been playing and how much more consistent they look like they're going to be.
That away form is suddenly starting to come good, and I think everybody in the Premier League is very fearful of what Manchester City can do when they're firing on all cylinders. Jeremy, an absolute pleasure to have a chat with you at the start of 2014, and we look forward to hopefully catching up with you later on in the season as well, and hopefully it will still be as tight at the top of the Premier League as it is at the moment. We'll be able to have another good discussion about it all as we get towards the latter stages of the season, mate.
Thanks very much. I look forward to it.
Thanks very much, Jeremy. Take care and have a very good 2014. Jeremy Wilson there joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things English football and giving us a little roundup, so to speak, of the winners and losers from the Christmas period that brought game after game after game after game. And you've had managers complaining about that. Paul Lambert.